Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. In the 1990s, the American church had two bestsellers from the Christian publishing world that, when summed up, seemed to be shouting two completely different messages that didn't quite line up with what Jesus was trying to say. If you put both of the messages together from those two books, here was a summary. Get as much crap as you can, and then blow the heck out of here as fast as you can. The two books were Left Behind, which got Christians pumped to blow this popsicle stand called Planet Earth, and the second was called The Prayer of Jabez, and it was based on just a couple of verses, and those verses came from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, this chapter. Chapter 4 continues chronicling the genealogy of the tribes until their destruction. The tribe of Judah, Levi, and Benjamin were preserved because they lived in the southern kingdom of Judah. They were what was known as the remnant, the ones that God would bring back, but the northern tribes of Israel were carried off by the Assyrians and intermarried with all the foreign pagans the Assyrians had deposited in northern Israel. They became known as Samaritans and were destroyed forever as the 12 tribes. So it's important to know that some of the tribes that Chronicles ceased to exist during that time, but the author is still going to record the genealogy of the people as far as it was known. As we read the chapter, we come in verse 9 to a man named Jabez, and we read this. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the Lord God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Now, Jabez, his name means pain, and I knew a dog named Pain once. His owner named him Pain because he was a pain. But for Jabez, being that pain was all he knew from a young age, he asked God to change the trajectory of his life so it wasn't just about pain. Now, this is close to my heart. I've got a little baby girl who was born with a hole in her lung, had a stroke at birth, has painful cerebral palsy in her ankles and calves, and also has spina bifida, a congenital birth defect where your spinal column never grows right over your spinal cord. Let me tell you, my little girl knew about pain as a baby. I remember once when she was just at the age where she could sit up, she fell back as babies do when they're sitting on the floor, chilling and thinking about politics. Rather than crying when her head smacked the hardwood floor, she just grunted. I'll never forget, smack, and I looked expecting to see her cry, and all I heard was a I thought, man, that's one tough baby. Now look, I get it. I get why Jabez prayed that prayer, and I also get why God answered it in his mercy. And I even get why other people would want this prayer to come true for them. The problem is when the book, The Prayer of Jabez, came out, it started to be used as a magical genie lamp. People started to say things like, "I prayed the prayer of Jabez over that." People were sprinkling this prayer over everything in their lives like it was tajin powder on Mexican corn at a swap meet. Listen, God is not your magical genie. And if there was a Harry Potter-like abracadabra incantation that we could use to keep us free from pain, it would not be tucked away in 1 Chronicles in an obscure chapter for us to find like Willy Wonka's golden ticket. I'm also confident that the Apostle Paul would have used the prayer of Jabez like a magic wand when he was getting beaten, shipwrecked, hungry, naked, or cold. Or maybe when he was getting flogged or stoned to death in Lystra and Derbe. I mean, he may have claimed the prayer of Jabez over that situation. Oh man, don't get me started. This gets me fired up. Why Americans think they should be kept from pain living in one of the most fortunate and privileged places in the world is beyond me. There are places like Haiti and Burkina Faso where people are literally living in garbage and day to day trying not to starve to death, trying to find clothes to cover their body. Like Paul said, having food, clothing, and shelter, we will be content with that. It's humbling to think that most of the world lives on $2 or less a day, and yet American Christians living in the lap of luxury are praying that they would be kept from any hardship at all. When it comes to the Left Behind crowd, well, they sort of got left behind when it came to their expectations. Radiohead, famous rock band, has a song called Let Down and Hanging Around. And that was the effect that most of those books had on many people. It was supposed to set the stage for the Antichrist and Jesus to come back right then. And 20 years ago, maybe it seemed like he would. Heck, it seems like he's going to today, and this hasn't been the first time. You can go back through world history over and over and over, and the stage seemed to be set. But looking back, all you can say on the people that expected it to unpack like Left Behind said is, boy, weren't they disappointed. I mean, it's been decades, and people started to realize that maybe they should have bought a house after all and settled down. Maybe that would have been a better investment of money than renting. Maybe we should have lived a little bit wiser. And of course, this is what Paul told the Thessalonians in the New Testament who'd gotten that wrong as well. But let's get down to the prayer of Jabez. For all the people who thought they could pray this prayer to God like he was some genie in a bottle, well, they were equally disappointed as the people from the Left Behind crowd. Rather than get all the crap you can and get the heck out of here as fast as you can, taking the messages of those two books, maybe our stance should be to stay here as long as we can to have as big of an impact as we can. I mean, doesn't that sound a little bit more like what you know of the New Testament? I mean, look at Paul. He says to go and be with the Lord is better by far, but which to choose, I can't decide. For if I remain, it's better for you, but if I go, I get to see Jesus. I mean, there's a guy willing to endure any and all hardship, like his master, like Jesus, to see as many people around him get saved as possible. And by the way, that was the heart of Jesus, to sacrifice everything and anything for you and me. And that is how much he loves us. That is the great value and worth he placed on me. And the question I have to ask is, don't I place that same value and worth on others? Because if I haven't, and that's not my focus, something within me is broken. My spectacles have been cracked, and I'm not seeing properly. That's why Jesus, when the disciples were like, oh, Lord, come on, send all the crowds home. We're tired. We're hungry. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, open your eyes. The harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send more people into it. Of course, he was talking about them. But what Jesus saw the crowd like was like helpless and harassed, like sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says his heart was moved deeply within him with compassion. You know, I don't always do such a great job at seeing people the way I need to, but that's my constant prayer. I want to see people around me like Jesus, because you know what? Getting out of here quick, it doesn't really matter. But taking as many people as I can with me really does. We'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.